God, you call us from many places and from many circumstances to be your disciples who point others to the truths you have for us. Open our eyes to your truth today. Amen. Today's gospel reading is a bit of a relationship chain as Jesus' connection with Andrew and Peter leads to his connection with Philip, and Philip's connection with Nathanael leads Nathanael to his connection with Jesus. Yet, when Nathanael first hears about Jesus from Philip and hears that Jesus is from Nazareth, he is skeptical and prejudicial. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Says Nathanael. Whatever it was that Nathanael negatively associated with Nazareth appears to be forever lost in time and translation, as the writer of John provides no further explanation of details which would explain Nathanael's reaction to hearing of Jesus' hometown. Yet I have known and know of places that have negative associations or stigmas, and I bet you do too. My early childhood was spent in Terrell, Texas. Like most small towns throughout the era of the Jim Crow South, it was a product of institutional racism. If you don't know what that means, let me explain it in terms of place of residence. Terrell, similar to many other southern towns at that time, had a very specific dividing line, and that line of division was the railroad tracks. The black population lived south of the railroad tracks, and the white population lived north of the railroad tracks. Integrated neighborhoods did not exist in that place at that time. Blacks crossed the railroad tracks during the day in order to work for white employees and also for services not available to them south of the tracks. As you might know, either from your own experience or perhaps seeing it in movies or reading about it, even on the white side of town, segregation persisted with restrooms, waiting rooms, water fountains, and other places designated as colored and located separately or set apart from the places where whites would congregate or be. The area south of the tracks was politely referred to as South Town, but frequently referred to by a more pejorative term, whereas the area north of the tracks was never referred to as North Town, but rather just referred to as Terrell. Even though South Town had Terrell addresses and the one and only Terrell zip code, it was never referred to by the town's name by the white population. The streets in North Terrell were paved, and most of them had sidewalks. Most of the streets on the south side of town were not paved, and there were no sidewalks. If my memory serves me correctly, I think about the only paved street was the one that went down the very center of town with a pavement ending at the all-black school serving the population of that side of town. Most of the houses were small, old, and in poor repair, and many did not have indoor plumbing. As a child, I didn't think much about that because our closest neighbor's farmhouse out in the country also did not have indoor plumbing. Since it was a bit of a second home to me, it seemed pretty normal to me. But then I could always go home to indoor running water and my nice inside bathroom. Shortly after the civil rights movement gained the necessary strength to begin to shake things up in Terrell, Texas, as well as the rest of the South and the rest of the country, my family moved to Western Colorado just as I was about to enter middle school, finding myself in a very different context, yet still connected to Texas via close relatives. I began a process of gradually understanding my own racism and the larger societal racism into which I had been born. The socialization to think of oneself as superior, to judge people by origin and place, and keep them in their place, is harmful to both the oppressed and the oppressor, blatantly so for one and subtly so for the other. As individuals and as a nation, we are still struggling to understand that we live in a world where there is an inequity of rights, privileges, places, neighborhoods, status, opportunities, and education, which all revolve around the color of one's skin, one's economic status, one's gender, one's country of origin, and one's religion. After the news of this past week, this Martin Luther King Jr. holiday weekend, and this second Sunday of Epiphany is a good time in which to enter honestly into this struggle. Jesus appreciates and elicits honesty from us. When Philip tells Nathanael about finding the one to whom Scripture points, the one for whom they have been waiting, it evidently doesn't jive with Nathanael that such a one should emerge from Nazareth. Biblical scholar Ray Brown refers to this as Nathanael's disparaging doubt. Philip realizes that he can't take away his friend's doubt. Only God can do that. But he can invite him to come and see. So, in spite of his doubt and preconceived ideas, Nathanael is open enough to begin to move towards Jesus. While he is coming towards him, Jesus affirms Nathanael for his lack of deceit. The fact that Jesus would say such a thing seems to surprise Nathanael, and he questions it. Based on Jesus' response, however, Nathanael realizes Jesus had his eye on him even before Philip ever told him about Jesus. So it is that we are known by our God, by our virtues, and by our faults, even before we discover God. Such a knowledge of us by the one who created us, forgives us, and calls us to a life of freedom and abundance is an epiphany. An epiphany elicits from us, like it did from Nathanael, a true confession of faith, professing the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are. Such truth frees us both from the ways we oppress and limit others and the ways in which we are oppressed. For Nathanael, it was just the beginning of a relationship in which he would have further epiphanies. In Genesis 28, Jacob has a dream in which a ladder appears between heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending upon it. So it is that Jesus ends his conversation with Nathanael by proclaiming that he is the ladder, he is the bridge between heaven and earth upon which the angels will ascend and descend. Jesus' intention is to not only call us to live lives of freedom, but to continue to open the pathway from heaven to earth, that all might have life and have it abundantly. No matter what levels of disparaging doubt we may have along this path upon which Jesus has called us, may we look, listen, come and see the truth that Jesus has to share with us. It is a truth about ourselves and about others that will show us how we are to live together on this planet, equally loved, cherished, and valued by our Creator God, no matter how great the forces which would try to separate, divide, and disparage us. Thanks be to God. Amen.